Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, Gotham After Buzzers? Up next, we're talking the official debut of the Court of Owls, Riddler on a revenge path, and Don Falcone being pulled back in. Come on.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. Yes. What's up, everybody? Thank you. Thank you for joining us on today's Gotham After Buzz After Show, Season 3, Episode 10, Time Bomb. Tainted Love is the song because everyone is sparked with blood red passion in today's episode.
Yes. But it's also tainted love.
And also it's all tainted because it's filled with murder and...
Yeah.
Betrayal?
There can't not be murderous love in Gotham.
It's impossible. Valentine's Day is bloody on these in this city. Please, if you haven't already, please go to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Subscribe, like us, iTunes, SoundCloud. I'm your boy, Michael Drew. You can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew, Michael EAL. Please hit me up, talk to me. You can even talk to me during the show. Actually, no, I'm not going to take my phone out during the show, but just tweet me after the show, and then we'll chit-chat. Steve, what about you?
Should I delete that tweet where I gave them your personal cell phone number and said specifically to text you?
Call Michael during the show. So,
literally, just call you. He'll just take it. You guys can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KaufMann.
Yes.
And let's jump right into it.
Okay. All right. Initially, your initial shots of today's show? Initial thoughts of today's show?
Oh, this show was wonderful. Mm-hmm. As I think I said last week... We had a lot of thoughts and predictions of like, oh, this is going to take them 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Most of it happened this week.
Yeah, bang, 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 went real quick. All right, I guess we'll go right into the cutest little couple you ever did see. We'll start with Bruce and Selina. We start off with them having breakfast, and it was probably like one of my favorite scenes of the episode, only because of the quiche remarks that Alfred was making.
I'm a pretty cultured person. I don't know exactly what a quiche is.
I mean, it's something with eggs. It's like an egg pie.
Yeah, I know what a tortata or fortata. I've had that. That's okay. I prefer just scrambled with butter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all tastes good. Whatever, it's food. But I liked how she was just so... She's such a rebel that she's just turning down everything. And he's just like, what really is bothering you? Is it the fact that you're living in a mansion and you're getting fed gourmet food every day? And she was just like, oh, what? I don't understand. I like that. I like those little repartees.
Yes. But I don't think she's much for... she's not much for mansions.
Well, yeah. Well, she's much for breaking into them, though, and stealing.
By the way, Ben Baker in the chat says, let's give a big hand to Tabitha.
Oh, ha-ha.
Ha.
Hi-o.
And Eric Olin in the chat told him to put some money in the pun jar.
Money in the pun. Good job.
There's a pun jar. There is a Gotham pun jar that has not been mentioned this year, but it exists.
I'm going to bring it out.
And I probably owe it most of my salary.
How much is your salary, by the way?
Not much.
Yeah, it's not much? We go to Ivy being in the plant place. I wrote down the plant place because I couldn't think of the term.
Conservatory? The greenhouse?
Yeah, there you go. She's in the conservatory. And
the glass room? That's not a thing.
Well, I mean, that's what I figured it was. Ivy... Ivy's just like... It's like her body has grown up, but her mind is so infantile. And she was already like... She was already the... You would say the dumbest
youngest,
of the kids.
Most immature.
Most immature because she was the youngest.
Well,
that
she's
true.
Also the youngest, but you're right. She's...
Her brain's not exactly accelerated.
Yeah, no.
But she's accelerated in where it counts. And I'm not talking about her physicality.
Okay.
I was going to go with her ability to make potions with,
yes,
with greens and flowers.
The only professor she did pay attention to was, yes, Professor Snape.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So she was very adept at that. And she used it today on Alfred. I thought Alfred was going to catch her. I thought he was going to be the one who was like, oh, no, no, no.
But that wouldn't be fun. It's... Well, and he also played to it a little of, like, well, she's hardly a girl.
Mm-hmm.
In that tiny bit of just, like, okay. I see you.
She's hardly a girl. What did you think... Of course, she gets out. She opens the door. She gets out. We already knew this was gonna go down. What did you think of Bruce and Selena and how Bruce goes right? I like how their relationship has gone to a new level, and he's putting all his cards on the table. Like, so how come I'm not your boyfriend? What's the problem here?
I've had that conversation before. Dude, I think my tip is to not have that conversation.
Huh?
That's a bad conversation.
I think this was his first time, and this is going to be that moment for him where he will now be you and tell people not to have that conversation. This was his first experience in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Or that conversation needs to be one-sided of like, hey, I have feelings for you. We need to talk about them eventually. I think there's a lot of plot in that glass that we should get to right now.
Did you like where Selena went when he asked her, why did you say I'm not your boyfriend? And then she immediately responds, why did you say I am? I am your girlfriend.
Well, I mean, they're clearly not a thing. Like they're not exclusive.
But doesn't he have the right to be confused?
Yes, but she's free to go and hang out with other rich billionaires in Gotham and sleep in their beds.
Whoa,
their bed. It's his house.
It's 13, homie. What are we talking about here?
I'm saying his whole the beds in that house are his bed.
Okay, you mean like you
get your mind bedroom. Out of the gutter. Okay. They're 13.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I agree. With
Maybe
you.
14.
Maybe 14.
They were 11 in the first season. I think they're 14 now.
They've grown. Yeah. All right. I mean, I think she's just playing hard to get. She just doesn't like being... I think she feels that he has a tendency to make her feel inadequate. You know, the way he talks. He has a demeaning way of talking. Like, if you know, every time she communicates with him, it's like, hey, I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not dumb. Like,
I'm just not formally educated.
Yeah, like, because when she goes inside, she goes in there to tell him, like, hey, I've been using the vinegar on the key. And his first reaction is, what the hell's wrong with you? She's like, I'm not stupid. I've been in the streets, homie. I'm in the streets all day. I see things you don't even know about. You want to be me. You know what I mean? That's what she's telling him.
Well, I think that the happy balance is in the middle. Because he's a little too bookish and she's a little too...
Too street.
Too street. Too independent. I'll say independent. That she can't even appreciate that she's sleeping on Egyptian cotton.
I know.
Alfred, how can you send it my way. I will appreciate it.
How can you not, though? I mean, if you've been sleeping, there's a strict difference between sleeping on, like, floor.
Mm. I think she has a bed.
Still, it ain't that Egyptian cotton.
I know, but, like...
It ain't that fine linen.
At a certain point, it's all...
All the fragrances in that house? Probably smells like Barnes and... It probably smells like William and Sonoma in there.
It probably smells like some stuff we don't even know about.
Like the highest end of William and Sonoma.
There's probably a place could like William and Sonoma, but for people with that much money that we've never even been.
The highest scented of scented candles. Where when you smell them, it's like you're going through a VR machine and you are literally in Antarctica. It's like eating a Clark bar. Was it a Clark bar? The old ice cream bar, the Eskimo pies there? You know, remember these?
The Klondike bar?
There you go. It's like a scented Klondike bar, where when you smell it, you're on the mountain screaming your name. All right, I got off the topic.
You're aware Klondike bars don't do that, right?
Huh? That's what the commercial told me. And if you don't listen to advertisements, we have many things not in common, my friend. Okay, so they get the keys. So Selena was right. She gets the key, and the key is for the Court of Owls. I mean, well, it looks like an owl. There's an engravement on it for the Court of Owls.
And they that make would the be decision. Really inconvenient if it was for something else.
Yes.
It was actually just like, it's to my car.
Yeah. And, of course, Ivy, the moment she gets outside, she gets kidnapped. The moment. So they get the phone call in there, and an exchange is agreed upon.
Yeah. Alfred's good at organizing those. I think it was really silly they brought the key.
Did they bring the key? I mean,
they brought the key.
They probably
lied. Well, they claim to not bring the key, but they clearly brought the key. And I'm like, that's a lot. You're putting a lot of faith in a group you've never met and has already kidnapped your friend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably wanted to, I don't know, they're probably just trying to play it safe. I would have brought the key. I mean, you got no choice.
No, I would have left the key in like an airport locker and then brought a key to that key.
They probably didn't have that much time. The phone
or a
call
key.
The movement between the phone call to getting to the sewer It looked like it was like at least a 30-minute.
That's enough time to like go to a bus stop.
That's enough time.
Go to a bus stop and rent a locker, and then go to the airport and rent a locker so that you give them the key to the bus locker,
and then you give the map to the key to the homeless guy who you've entrusted.
No, that's another person. That doesn't work? I'm out. I'm saying you just incept the key. You put the key in an airport locker, but you put the key to that airport locker in a bus station locker.
Yeah.
And then you give them the key to that bus station locker and be like, figure it out. I'm out.
Guess. all right. So they go down there and they meet with the gang, and it turns out that the gang's actually on their side. Sort of. The gang's the enemy of the Court of Owls.
Enemy of my enemy.
Enemy of my enemy, you're my friend. The Whisper Gang.
Yes.
I don't, it doesn't, as a comic book reader, it does not ring a bell.
Me either. That doesn't mean it's not.
I like the mask, though. The mask.
I like everything about it. It struck me League of Assassins-y.
That's what I thought it was going in that direction.
Something like that.
But I'm happy with it. And it turns out that they want the key because there is a vault in one of these certain areas that belong to the Court of Owls that this key leads to, and they feel like in this vault it will reveal a big weapon that will like destroy the Court of Owls, but they don't know what the weapon is.
They have very little limited intel on what's actually in the safe. I think it's just money.
I know, right? So like there's something in this safe that's great, it's gonna kill everybody. What is it? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a weapon. I don't know if it's a person.
This sounds like MacGuffin, to be very honest.
Good.
It sounds like a much to do, but we gotta open the safe and then we're gonna spend all year opening the safe. And by the time we open the safe, it's like, oh, wait.
A note. Gotcha.
Well, it's gonna be a key to an airport locker in Metropolis. We go to Metropolis and then it's a key to a bus station locker in Metropolis. And then that key leads you to Star City. And then you eventually get the key to the other.
Yeah,
How long can I keep this going?
All right, so but the assassin, so everything's okay. They all have a plan. Next thing you know, the assassins are figured out, are found out by the Court of Owls, and they're killed.
Yep. Well, the one guy.
I mean, he killed. Well, the group, there was like three of them.
Yeah.
They killed one assassin, and then they killed the main guy who was talking to them.
Let's hope there's more than three.
I know that's like their entire.
Oh, that's Bruce is in it again.
I know. But they still don't know that Bruce has the key, though. But they still have no idea. I would think they don't.
I think they would figure that out. They're the Court of Owls.
Yeah, but I just don't... Because they knew he had the key, and then when they killed them, no one has seen them together, and they haven't had a chance to meet. So I think that works on for Bruce at the moment.
Well, until next week.
Yes, I know, right? Until next week.
Until next week when he meets with the lady and it's just like, I have the key. I want my parents back.
I know,
the
right?
Serum to make them alive again. Is it a locker? No. I'm out.
All right. So that's pretty much it for Bruce. Anything you want to comment?
Any
last things? All right. So on to the villains. This was one of my favorite parts of this episode. I like how everything was just sectioned off beautifully. Cobblepot was having a good meeting with the five families.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, this guy's fully corrupt. Corrupt mayor.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Waynes are one of the five families.
I thought it was a crime five family.
I guess it's the crime. He didn't specify which five families, because the five families of Gotham, the Waynes are one of those five families.
Yeah. I think he's talking about mafia.
Yeah, I think it's five mafia families as well, because that makes a lot more sense.
There's a lot of different families.
Because
mafia, corporate. Bakeries, supermarket chains. Conductors. The plumbing. The five great families of the five plumbers. The plumbing.
The fraternal order of plumbers. I know them. The FOP.
So this is it. There's sections. There's sections. There's levels to the game.
Do you think Penguin had a bunch of meetings all morning, or did those five families represent all the five families?
Like right before them was the meeting with the plumbers. Then right before them was a meeting with the supermarket guys.
That was probably an easy meeting.
I know, right? Guys, listen.
Listen, protection. Y'all don't want your supermarket to get shot up more than it already is, because it's Gotham. It's going to get shot up.
Yeah.
But I promise you it won't get shot up more than twice a quarter.
All right.
That's progress.
Get out, send in the bakers. Vinny! Then he comes in. All right, so so Barbara comes in and chit-chats with them. She comes in full with Glenn's ablazed, looking for she's looking for Tabby and Butch. And it
Yeah, this was fun. This was this was really fun that she can just walk in any room. We get to see Olga again. Like we get to set up like pretty much that what we kind of figured would happen last week, which is that Nygma will ultimately almost kill Tabitha and Butch and then find out the truth.
Yeah, and he went right, I'm glad, just like we said last week, he goes right to it. And then it turns out that Riddler has them captured, and I love how Barbara goes on a searching party, searching for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
She finds out, she comes back to talk to Olga, she gets the receipts, then she goes back to a torture chamber where you buy S&M stuff.
Oh, you mean Stock and Bondage?
Stock and Bondage.
You mean that place?
Yeah.
The Gotham staple? That is Stock and Bondage? I honestly thought she was going to get an address real quick and then be like, actually, I'd like this, that. Like, I thought that would have...
She went right to it.
Been a less climactic version of the scene we saw, which was really cool.
Yeah.
That she just... He was all about that.
Never has a guy been greatest so happy to snitch.
Greatest day in his life.
Never has a man been more happy to snitch, man. He was excited. Like, oh, man, snitching's never felt so good.
Mm.
Oh, that was my impression of him. So, yeah. So
I auditioned for that part.
Did you really?
No.
No, it would have been a good one. Only if she was there, though. Only if Barbara was there. So Barbara's searching for them, and while she's searching for them, Riddler is just torturing away. And, of course, Butch is saying he has no idea who she is. And he's just shocking them, has the ball and gag in their mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, like that's the Stock and Bondage.
That's the Stock and Bondage
part.
That's
the special.
That's the discount. That's what he got on discount.
Three ball gags. It's you get a ball gag free per every $100 you spend. He spent at least $300. So three free ball gags. I don't know what he's doing with that third ball gag.
It's extra.
It's just he's got it now.
It's here now. He's going to use it for handball. So then we catch on to... we see... The one thing that really got me excited was Riddler having a... It was a real Riddler mechanism. You know what I mean? The guillotine for the hand?
Yes.
He had a legit Riddler-esque... I thought he was going to add a riddle to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just like, listen, you're going to kill him or not?
Some Saw level.
Yeah, but he was just pissed.
Hmm.
So, and he has a legit Riddler, I can't think of the word, but the hand guillotine is like a legit Batman villain.
No, that was a sadistic riddle.
Trap.
There you go, with
something.
Yeah.
You're right. So, and then he forces Tabitha and Butch to make hard decisions. He forces Tabitha to either cut off her hand or save his life. And of course, Tabitha's more importantly, wants to hold on to her hand. And Butch... And at first, you know, you feel bad. I felt bad for them. But then Butch...
I mean...
My man.
Deal in terms, though. The deal is you get to live, but I chop off your hand. Terms. Do you have methods to, like, cauterize the wound?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have ice here? Like, can you call the ambulance the second it happens? Like, they didn't really negotiate much.
Well, it was save my hand. You save your hand, kill him, or cut off your hand and save him. And what would you think about Bruce? What do you think about Butch's confession? Do you think it was gonna go in that direction? Do you think it was gonna be one of those? Because at first I thought they were gonna go in the direction of, but you don't love me, aw. But I like how he switched. He's like, I know you don't love me, but I love you, and I'm cool with that.
I think he kind of always knew that, though.
Yeah.
That it's... She likes being her, and I like that.
Yeah, I think that's what he likes. Yeah, he likes strong women. He has a tendency to like people who don't like him as much. But she was the closest thing.
We should dive into Butch's psyche real quick.
Butch.
He's abandonment issues. He has reliance issues.
But the fact that he was okay with the fact that she didn't love him, I think kind of flips that. You know what I mean? Because usually when you chase someone that you can't have for the sake of trying to make them like you because it makes you feel good about yourself, when you find out they don't like you, you feel like crap. But he was cool. He's like, I know, but I'm just glad that you hung out with me.
Yeah, I'm starting to think Butch may have been the product of a single mother who didn't actually care for him, and that's how he's replicating all other relationships with women in his life.
Huh.
I also think his mother probably got her hand chopped off.
Maybe that'd be that. He's like, it's happening all over again.
Ah, not again.
Ma. Ma. But, of course, but Tabitha, it changes Tabitha's mind. She says she's sweet, and she chops off her hand. Oh.
Mm.
And Riddler's just like, and of course all this happens and Riddler puts two and two together, he didn't kill.
James Mirror Domains in the chat says Butch also loved Fish Mooney, which is also true. He tends to have very strange relationships with the women in his life.
That's true.
Very strange, almost one-sided relationships.
I'm curious if he's going to get jealous of the fact that Penguin, all that time he spent with Penguin, and even though he probably doesn't swing that way, that Penguin has a crush on Riddler. You know, I wonder if Butch is going to be like, so what about me? I mean, I don't go in that direction, but
I think it's actually indicative of the thread we've pulled at now, that it's the reason he works so well with Penguin, aside from the fact that, as far as I'm aware, Victor Zsasz still brainwashed him to do anything Penguin said.
Mm-hmm.
That never really got stopped. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat. The Victor Zsasz of it all never really stopped.
Yeah,
I guess it did with the Red Hood gang. I need help on the Victor Zsasz brainwash. Is there like a time limit? Well, did it never happen? I'm out on that one. But his relationship with Penguin was similar to his relationship with Fish Mooney, similar to his relationship with Tabitha, where he seems to accept that I like being with this person, and this person doesn't dislike me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough, probably because I'm full of such self-hatred. Let's just psychoanalyze all the characters on our TV shows.
Jeez. So, yeah, and then they take it to the hospital, and Barbara puts two and two together, figures out that Penguin's the one who killed Isabella, and she has a big game plan. She has a whole game plan on how to, I guess, start a war.
Mm-hmm.
Any ideas on what her specific game plan is?
She said start a war, not fight in a war.
Mm-hmm.
So it leads me to believe, and I'm not going to recklessly speculate because we have a whole segment for that.
Yeah.
But I think her plan would be to use that information to cause trouble within the Penguin camp and then rally the five families, whether it be the Fraternal Order of Plumbers or the supermarket families or the mob families.
Yes.
Rally them against Penguin to take back the city.
Okay.
But once again, this plays into who really runs this city and what's happening there.
Yeah. I was thinking just starting a fight between, I thought, you know, starting a good fight between Riddler and Penguin, then weakening the top.
Yeah.
And then, you know, making her coup. Seizing it.
Yeah, because if we've learned about Gotham when we lost Falcone, is, whatchamacallit, if you just take out the person at the top, you create a power vacuum and Gotham burns.
Yeah.
So I think Barbara's plan would be similar to Penguin's plan, which is you take out the person at the top and immediately take their spot. So that the everyday citizen doesn't notice.
That's a good plan.
Because if you take out the person at the top and then just leave a power vacuum, everybody notices. Because everybody goes crazy.
Yeah.
Of like, wait, I could be leader, you could be leader, let's fight.
Yeah, I know. Then everyone's starting a coup. That's you got eight coups.
Yeah, that's my explanation of a power vacuum.
Yeah.
I can be leader. You can be leader. F you, man.
Everyone's cooing. You want a coup? I'll coup. Whoever wins the coup gets the top. Everyone can't be cooing.
I'm part chicken. I think I'm going to win the coup.
Oh, hey. Yeah, good. I like that.
I'll put a quarter in that pun jar. That was a pun. I'll admit to that. That was definitely a pun.
All right, so now on to Jim. Jim, Mario, and Lee. So, essentially, Mario and Lee. We begin with Mario and Lee having the dinner with Big Falcone, with Don Falcone, and you know, someone blows up his car. Full mafia mob hit.
People seem to be less worried about the valet.
No one said anything about the valet.
The poor valet. Like, there was nobody else at that place that night. So he made, like, just his hourly, which at Gotham is probably only five.
Probably just covering for his friend, trying to work overtime.
Just like, man, like, you're the valet at an event space that was closed except for one table.
I know.
And then you have to drive that person's car from, like, the front of the driveway to the stairs. And then it explodes.
And his mind's just like, man, Falcone's going to be there? Oh, man, he tips huge. Oh, I can.
Yo, I'm going to make a hundo just to drive his car, like, 10 feet.
I can make rent this week. Blew him up. No one cared. Jim asks, he asks Falcone, did anyone get hurt? Falcone's just like, only a few scratches.
Now we're good. What about the valet's not people.
Valet doesn't count.
Valet.
Jeez. He shows up anyway, and he speaks to Don. He asks Don to chill out. That's why I wrote ask Don to chill. He says, Don, chill, man. Don't get crazy. Don't put gunfire in the air. And Don's just like, sure, you got one day. One day till I start bucking. Till I start making a few phone calls.
One day before I start yanking teeth out of people's mouths.
Yeah. It didn't even last a day.
I think he's a man of his word. I think that was a full 24 hours later.
I think so. He gives him a warning. Jim and Harv find out who the guy is. Well, who sold the explosives?
You mean Captain Harvey Bullock?
Sorry, you're right. He speaks to the captain, who's doing his best. And I think he said he took over because the other person who could have taken the job shot a cat.
Yes.
And as he said, why'd he shoot a cat? Does it matter? He shot a cat. And he's right, man. You can't be shooting cats out
there. That just doesn't immediately disqualify him for this position, and we should stop the conversation.
I know. I mean, because if he'll shoot a cat, who won't he shoot? I think that's the essence.
Probably.
There are a lot of cat. I thought there were a lot of Catwoman.
Well, you pointed out at the Stock and Bondage there was a Michelle Pfeiffer looking leather suit.
Yeah.
In the background behind the counter,
there were a couple of cat. What is that? Help me. Help me.
Cat.
No, when you find the nice little clues to a comic book,
Easter eggs.
Thank you.
Those have nothing to do with cats, but okay.
No, but those are Easter. But those are a nice little Catwoman Easter eggs. Sorry, guys. Sometimes the brain inefficient. There are a lot of Catwoman Easter eggs. Shooting cats, Catwoman. And then the next week, Selena's walking on a wire.
Well, that's just Selena on a wire.
Yeah, but cats do be wire walking. I mean, I haven't seen it, but apparently in animated cartoons. So they figure out who did the bomb and who sold the explosives. A guy named Fuse. So they go round him up, and of course, old Fuse is dead.
Yeah, that's sad.
Old Fuse is dead.
Back when I knew Fuse, he didn't do anything with electricity at all.
Well,
he's a car mechanic.
Well, he switched it up.
He worked at a supermarket while he went to auto mechanic school.
Yeah?
Fourth family. Not the fifth. The fourth. He was a part of the fourth supermarket family.
Jeez. He switched it up. He was trying to get into the electricians.
I don't think he could crack that. I think with a name like Fuse, it was kind of disappointing.
Fusey. So they find a folder at Fuse's spot that leads to the real target. Who was it? Mario. Come on.
Of course.
Come on, Kaufman. Anyway, so they go find Mario to save Mario, and assassins on motorcycles are attacking him. Because when assassins attacking Gotham, they don't just walk by you and shoot you in silence. They do it in the loudest, most explosive way possible and stylistically.
Couldn't they just like dress like doctors and then walk around that hospital? There's probably... We learned later that, like, you could just walk into a hospital with a severed hand. Like, you could just...
Well, I would figure if they're doing it that loud, they're probably trying to send a message.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, to whom? To whom?
To who? Who?
Oh.
Who?
Where are you going with that?
Who?
Where are you going with that? You see me and Steve? It's the mind meld. We call it the Gotham mind meld.
That happens
We'll
sometimes.
Go there. We'll go there in a little bit. So Jim tells Mario he has to lay low. Mario, of course, isn't playing along because Mario doesn't trust Jim. Would you trust Jim?
Yeah. I'm not Mario, though. He's a man of the law.
But I don't blame Mario.
It's not like he picked him up and was like, get in my car. True. And then took him to the station. It was like he gets there just in time to save his life from men with knives.
Yeah.
And it's like that should be proof enough. But there's more to Mario than we know.
Well,
I think that's why he doesn't trust Bruce.
Yeah. Jim.
Or Bruce. Or he probably Bruce. Doesn't trust Bruce either. He just hasn't met him yet.
I like how Mario did state, maybe you're just going to let me get killed. Or he said something along the lines, why should I trust you? Maybe you're not even going to, like, maybe you want me just to leave town to stay under wraps. Because he could be that. What if you want me to stay hidden so then you can come and swoop and steal my lady? Crazier things have happened.
That's a, like...
It's not even a leap. It's not even a jump. There's a little hopscotch.
But if he honestly feels that about Lee, he really shouldn't be marrying her yet.
I think...
But I think they're getting married way too soon.
Well, I mean, Jim coming out of nowhere... I think he's always been worried about Jim because it was initially him. He was the initial reason to come to Gotham, and I think he came to Gotham to check her loyalties, to make sure that she was his.
That sounds like some weird mind F stuff that would lead a woman away from you.
We're in Gotham.
But they weren't in Gotham. Like, why? If you weren't in Gotham, why? They had a white picket fence.
Maybe he's insecure.
I think wherever they were, he was there to... This is a prediction.
All right. So Jim finds the Don, and he asks him about any enemies. Falcone says no. No idea. Mario leaves the GCPD. He escapes the GCPD because apparently he wants to go lure them out himself and be a hero just to end this. Jim goes and finds him, and he tells Jim, it's like there's something Mario's not telling him. He's like, why is he trying to eliminate these bad guys without giving any information? There's something going on, and Jim knows it, and Mario's just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And what we're learning is that Falcone doesn't know about it either.
Yes, Don Falcone. I love that character. Yeah.
But that... There's something up with Mario mm-hmm. as a villain. People pointed out, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that scene where he punched Bruce.
Yeah.
Or Jim. He punches them both. Both main characters in the show.
Yeah.
Mark my words, he'll eventually punch Bruce. But in the scene where he punched Jim Gordon, people pointed out that there was a bandage on the back of his neck.
There was a bandage on the back.
And they're talking whether he was injected with something or like... Tetch blood, like
forgot about that.
I'm ruling out Tetch blood because we've seen so much of it so far that it doesn't make a whole lot. Like this doesn't seem like what happened to Barnes, and we've lived through this with Barnes that none of this looks like Tetch blood.
All right, hold on, let's get there. So all right, so in the jewelry store, assassins come in. He beats the dog crap out of an assassin and kills him, and very viciously shows a sign to him that we've never seen from Mario. They end up going back to the prison, and they have the assassin under one of the only assassin who's alive. They have him under wraps, and they can't get any answers from him. And then Falcone goes in there. Don Falcone, not Mario, goes in there and pretty much peels his teeth back. Pulls out a tooth, and of course, on the tooth, there's an owl.
That would have been really disappointing if there wasn't one. That he just tore up some dude's mouth.
I know.
And then didn't find the tooth.
But that says a lot about Don, because when we heard about the whole Court of Owls coming in, I always used to wonder what was Falcone's connection to them, because Falcone has always run Gotham.
But we're learning he didn't run Gotham.
I know, but he's not a schlub.
Of course not.
He's not a henchman. He's not a henchman for the court. And I think we saw that when he takes the tooth and goes to speak to Catherine. And he says, hey, I've always been respectful to you guys, but why are you trying to kill my son? And she's so arrogant. She looks him right in his face like, hey, man, it's none of your business why I'm trying to kill your son. Who are you?
Not even like you should talk to your son.
Yeah.
But like, you're not privy to that information, sir. Like, I feel like I'm privy to that information. Yeah. Like,
I thought
my third cousin. It's my son.
Yeah. I liked how he kept it respectful, but respectfully said, don't make me get crazy, because I'll hurt your whole crew. And she, even when she says you won't win, he's like, I don't care. I'm Falcone. I'll put the hit on the whole family. You know? And he knows some things. Clearly, he knows some things. And he pointed out something that I thought was really telling. They made an effort to make it look like a mob hit.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put in broad strokes. Hey, the owls are trying to get rid of you. They tried to conceal their steps at trying to kill Mario because they probably didn't want Don, you know, the Don. They probably didn't want Falcone coming at them.
Mm-hmm. But do.
They have reason to be afraid of him. That's why I like Falco.
How much orchestration do we think the Court of Owls has in this hit?
I don't know.
Like, well, no, because I guess they assumed Lee would be in the car, too, so never mind. I thought that they would have had such orchestration that it's like, well, no, if we kill Mario Falcone, Gordon can then get back with Lee and be happy, and then he'll stop shaking our tree. Like, he'll stop shaking all these trees, including the Wayne murder tree.
I was thinking maybe...
But then it seemed like they wanted to blow up that car with all three of them in it.
Okay. I was thinking maybe they just wanted to get rid of the whole Falcone lineage. Because he's old. He's probably going to die soon. Get rid of the son so no one can take over.
Meaning get rid of the five families of Gotham.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking Falcone, but yeah, essentially.
Well, if they were trying to get rid of Wayne, if they were trying to get rid of Bruce Wayne, are we to the reckless speculation portion?
Oh no, not yet.
Okay, I was like, I think we're on to something here.
So okay, so all right, so he talks to Catherine. They have a little standoff, a little tete-a-tete. Lee then goes to visit Jim, and they essentially have a nice little goodbye kiss. I guess it's their. A goodbye, like, hey, I'm moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I hope everything works out for you, and they kiss goodbye.
This seemed pretty final. Like, we hadn't really gotten this before.
No.
Before now, so I appreciated that.
And what do you say? It seems like every time we talk, it always feels like a goodbye. Breaks my heart. Tainted love.
He gonna be at that wedding, though?
He's gonna be at that wedding. It'd be funny if he was at the wedding, just had a grand old time. Like, this is actually a pretty good wedding. This isn't that bad.
Man, I should have had a life of crime.
Damn.
Life of crime. I could pay for these kind of weddings.
Jeez. And then she leaves. And then when she leaves, of course, what do we see? We see Mario creeping.
Mm.
Creeping. And then he kills some muggers. And he freaks out. And you don't think that was the Tetch Blood? I guess the first thing
I'm coming around on the Tetch Blood.
Coming around. Like... I mean, but why would he have it in him?
Some people are speculating that he put it in him specifically, but the more I think about it, he reacted specifically to when Lee said we found an antidote or we're trying to get an antidote to reverse it. He seemed to have an interest in the Tetch Blood. That like the more I think about it, the less I think it wasn't Tetch Blood. Do we think a flashback?
A flashback
where he had an encounter with Tetch before any of this?
Hmm.
Or okay. He could just... But then, why would the Court of Owls... Well, I think we're ready. Are we...
Predictions.
There
let's
we go.
Let's just start this off. Let's just start it off.
All right.
All right, I'll let you go. I was going to ask a quick question, but you go ahead.
Whether it's Tetch Blood or not, I think Mario has led a secret life, secret to us, the audience, up until now, that has enraged the Court of Owls. It might not be as big a deal as I'm making it, because the Court of Owls also seem to be wanting to kill the lineage of the families of Gotham, starting with Bruce Wayne. But they didn't kill Bruce Wayne. But my theory's falling apart as we... It's crumbling. The Court of Owls is upset with Mario for some reason. We don't know what yet. We'll probably find out next week. Everyone's going to be at that wedding, including Penguin and Nygma. Why would you invite them? Just sidebar, why would you invite Penguin and Nygma to the wedding?
He is the mayor, and he does run the five families. So it could just be respect.
But Nygma, though? Is that his plus one? That's probably his plus one. That's weird.
Quick question. Do you think that Don will go at the owls?
They would have
directly,
to
directly at the owls.
They would have to kill Mario, and then Mario will have to die not telling his father whatever the secret is. I'll ask you. Do you think Mario and Lee get married?
That's a good question.
Because the preview leads us to assume it does, because they turn back around and everybody cheers. So I guess they get married, but like, did they stay married? Does he stay alive?
Do you think? Yeah. Do you think they get married? Not only do they get married, do you think they live? It's a positive. They could.
Leah live.
You think so? Yes. I don't know. This was very final. Her goodbye was very final.
Nah, they're happy to have. They're happy to have that actress on the show.
They don't. I mean, I don't know. They. I don't care. I don't think storyline matters. I think storyline supersedes.
Okay, Sky Patterson has a great idea. Mario is a creature of Indian Hill. Maybe he bit off the hand that feeds him, and the Court of Owls is coming to get him. Maybe the Court of Owls wants to kill him and replace him with an Indian Hill creature.
I don't know. I'm not going to jump on that. That's a theory.
That makes about as much sense as a Bruce clone.
That's a theory.
If there's Bruce clones, there could be Mario clones. There could be... We don't know any of the other ancestry of all the original Gotham families. That's the Court of Owls' way of actually infiltrating the powerful in Gotham, is to literally clone all of the descendants and then kill the
originals. That would be... That could be a good plan.
That would be Creep City.
That would... Yeah.
And it would actually be very creepy if... It would be very creepy if this were the Mario clone that got out of Indian Hill alongside the Bruce clone. Because the timeline makes sense. Right? Because the timeline makes sense because the end of last season was when everybody got out of Indian Hill.
No, you're... Whoa.
I know, right?
I don't know. That's crazy. Oh, okay. Basically, I think we're going to get... I think the second half of the season, because next week should be...
As far as we're aware, next week is it.
Okay, if next week is the mid-season finale, I believe it is going to be the beginning of the beginning of worldwide war in Gotham, and the second half of the season is going to be five families going at it, the Court of Owls, Falcone, Penguin, Riddler, everyone's just going at it for power.
And I can buy that.
Fully. Also, it's like full on. And I think next week might be the beginning of that.
Also, what's in the vault? Well, actually, two questions. One, will we find out what's in the vault tomorrow? Or, sorry, next week?
I think we'll find out what's in the vault at the end of the episode, yes. It'll lead into the second season.
Do we think it's a bomb that can destroy Gotham?
No, that's so corny. I hope not. I hope not. I don't think it's going to be a legit weapon. It's going to be a weapon in theory.
It's
going to
be a bunch of papers?
Something. It's going to be like...
It's going to be plans to all the descendant clones?
It's something like that.
All the five family clones?
Every clone in Gotham is probably going to be info on that. It's going to be info on everything.
Or it's going to be a key that leads to the Gotham airport, that leads to a safe deposit box at the Metropolis Bank.
Maybe Mario has been working on the clones for them.
Hmm.
He's a doctor. Maybe he has been working for them secretly.
That makes sense, too. That he worked at Indian Hill just secretly, or he did like freelance stuff from that white picket fence house that he was at all summer.
Maybe.
Are we? I think there's a little more reckless speculation to happen here.
We're going too far.
No, I think we have not gone far enough. I think one of the things we said is true. Does Barbara take the throne after it's all said and done? Like that looks like.
She pulls a Cersei.
She looks like the exact type of crazy that would take control of Gotham at the end of all this.
She pulls a Cersei, then Jerome comes back.
Hmm.
Then the clown prince of crime reigns with his Harley Quinn. Alright, let's leave it there. Let's leave it there. Let's not get too crazy.
Also, Sky Patterson in the chat says Bruce Wayne's grandmother is the madam of the Court of Owls, Catherine.
Oh.
I believe you, Sky Patterson.
That's a good one.
But that would mean she ordered the killing of her
I don't know about
child
that.
And of her son and son's wife. Probably because they were being too goody-goody.
I know. Maybe. I doubt it.
There's no room for goody-goodies in Gotham.
No room. It doesn't even matter if you're a Wayne. All right, man. That's it. That's the episode.
Yeah.
That was good. That was fun. Peoples, if you haven't already, please go to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Like, subscribe. Go to iTunes, SoundCloud. Leave a comment. Share. Rate us. The highest of ratings.
Give us 6 stars.
Please. Yeah, is it 5 or 6? 6?
You hack it to make it 6 stars.
Yeah, I hack it. Hack it and put it 10.
Maybe. I have faith in our viewers.
Guys, my name is Michael Drew. You can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew. Michael, EAL. Mr. Kaufman.
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUF. M-A-N-N. I do a lot of shows this December with my improv group, The Show That Should Not Be Named. I tweet about those, so if you're in Southern California and you like comedy and Harry Potter and improv and all the venues, cool venues we play, please join us there. There'll usually be butterbeer.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.